So as we pick up here, we find that the dialectic process, Genesis 3, 1 through 6, is simply the effort to emancipate or liberate the dopamine cycle within man. The lust of the flesh, the nervous system, the lust of the eyes, the looking for the gratifying objects of the world. And again, it's the dopamine isn't evil in and of itself. God's not against pleasure. It's the love of pleasure. When pleasure becomes greater as the desire than the desire for serving the Lord. God certainly created the world that we would have pleasure in it, but not that we would worship it. And by the way, money is stored up dopamine. You know, you go take a trip, and that's good food and you know, a pleasant time, and that's dopamine. And nothing wrong with that. It's that when that precedes what God's directing you to do in your life, the love of money is the root of all evil. It's your stored up dopamine. You can actually get dopamine by counting the money. It has no value in itself, but it does as far as the flesh goes, because you have hope. Now, just jumping off track here, Immanuel Kant's work, Critique of Pure Reason, Hegel said he couldn't have done what he did without Kant. And what Kant did was he put hope in happiness. Instead of hoping in the Lord, which would be faith, he put hope in happiness, which is reasoning. And we would say, well, certainly we get up in the morning hoping to have a good day. You know, we don't get up in the morning hoping to have a bad day, a painful day. See, it correlates to pain. The worth of our day is based upon how much pleasure versus pain we have. But that's the temporal man. To a true believer, you put on the whole armor of God and you stand. You know, whether it's painful or pleasurable, that the pleasure can draw you away and the pain can get you to run away. You put your hand to the plow, you don't look left or right. You stand. You are sure and confident in the Lord no matter what comes your way. But it's easy to seduce Christians into the process by simply focusing on human relationship. The approval of men is a dopamine moment. And so if you change the church from focusing on the Lord to human relationship, unity, you know, for the sake of the institution, which is evangelizing, see, that's a trap. Because the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. And who is he? He's the obedient son to the Father, who was obedient to the Father even to death, and he's called us to do the same. Deny yourself. Who are you talking to today? Yourself. Or what? Dopamine. He says, deny that. Pick up your cross, which is relationship with other people. See, people put you on a cross. Your friends will put you on a cross because you're no fun anymore, because you keep coming in and saying, thou shalt not. And you have to understand that God certainly gave us the law, but the reason for the law is to condemn us. No man can fulfill the law. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It doesn't negate the law. It simply says we're not God. We are of flesh. We're that child. We're temptable and subject to it. And Jesus didn't succumb to the temptation because he had the Holy Spirit. If you walk in the Holy Spirit, by the way, you won't fulfill the law because the Holy Spirit won't, excuse me, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh because the Holy Spirit will not break the law. You will fulfill the law. And so getting back, though, to what happened in the garden was that once he said you won't die, Eve is now free. Once in a classroom, I can tell the students, oh, we can talk about anything. And this is Rogerian psychology. Open-ended, we can talk about anything. Non-directive, I'm not going to tell you what's right and wrong. Those two things are of the devil. They are not of God. Because God directs our steps, and he tells us what's right and what's wrong. See, and so, therefore, when you go open-ended, you're instantly in this safe zone where you won't die. And that's the lie. You and I will be personally accountable for every thought, every act we've done. The only escape from that is that the righteousness of Christ, his obedience to his Father, is imputed to you by your faith in him. Just get ahead a moment here. We find in Romans the law of the flesh. That's the approach, pleasure, avoid pain. The law of God, which is perfect in itself, but it condemns us because it reveals we're not perfect. We're not holy. We're not righteous. We're not good. See, we're not good. we're wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's where you have to start. You say, oh, that's a wonderful, sweet little child I have. No, that's a wicked child you have. Even the child within is wicked. And so you cannot redeem yourself in a group. No, you can't have 7 billion people doing kumbaya and produce any righteousness whatsoever. Righteousness has to be imputed by the one who was obedient to his Father in all things, not sinning once, not once breaking the law. So the law simply is here to condemn us. That's why Paul says, who can deliver me from this body of death? Because the law just condemns me. And his answer is the law of faith in Christ Jesus, who obeyed the Father, fulfilled the law to the point of death, redeems us from the wrath of the Father upon us because of our rebellious nature, our sinful nature, our law of the flesh, and reconciles us to the Father. He brings back a father-son relationship. He said, I and my Father are one. No man has seen the Father. And then he tells his disciples, listen, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. See, doesn't that make sense? He's completely in agreement to his Father, so if you look at Christ, you see the Father. What the Father commands, that's what he does. Therefore, he is the only obedient son to the Father. We cannot be, because we're the flesh. But he redeems us. See, that's why daily you die to yourself, you know, deny yourself, pick up your cross, which is social. You won't go any deeper in the Word of God than your friends will allow you. Do you know the parable of the rocky soils? The rocks are offended by the Word of God. You don't go any deeper. Your words can't go past those rocks. And those rocks are your friends. You don't want to offend your friends, so you'll never go deeper in the Word of God than your friends will allow you. And if you do persevere, see, and you're in a room full of dialectic thinking, quote-unquote, Christians, they will martyr you. You been through that? You open up the Word of God and you say, as Jesus, it is written, it is written, it is written, and all of a sudden you find you're in a room of how do you feel, what do you think, approach, pleasure, avoid pain, can't we all get along, unity, mentality, kumbaya, and all of a sudden you're excommunicated without writ. Nobody's talking to you. They're all talking about you. You're causing dissension and division because the agenda of the quote-unquote church is unity. When the real purpose of the church is in Christ, and Christ alone, in his word, by grace, by faith alone. And the Protestant Reformation is gone. It's Mother Church in the Protestant Church. And simply because we focus on human relationship, and I'm not against that, it's that that cannot come first. Dopamine cannot come first. Bread does not come first. But every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God comes first. Worshipping God above anything in this world comes first. Don't tempt God. Don't take his word and say, oh God, you promised me a bike today. Where is it? And snap your fingers and point at him. You know, that's tempting God. He loves you and he loves me, but he's not moving one inch away from his word. In fact, he declares he holds his word higher than his name. Who do you think you are to change his word into an opinion? And that's all Eve was doing. Listen how this works. Because the moment you're in that safe zone, that youth group, where we can talk about how we feel, what we think about our home environment, that's all Satan was doing with Eve in the garden. Well, how do you like it here in the garden? Well, you know, I ought to be able to at least touch that tree over there. You know, Dad says I can't go play with my friends, but I'll at least be able to sit on the porch and watch him out there. You know, oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda is the key to your damnation. When a minister says I ought to have more people in the church, that's a damnable statement. Hey, whoa, whoa, you might say, wait a minute. What do you mean by that? No, you preach and teach the Word of God, and the Lord adds to the church. The Lord adds to the church. The Lord adds to the church those who shall be saved. All you can do is preach and teach, preach and teach. Rules and commands and chasten. In other words, you reprove, correct, and rebuke those who are not in the way, in the fellowship. And if they love the Lord, they will accept the reproof, correct, and rebuke. I have yet to meet any church growth, emerging church minister who loves the Word of God, because the moment you open up the Word of God, they run to men's opinions. I've had them yell at me for 45 minutes. We have to dialogue. That is a pure 100% proof of Genesis 3:1 through 6. They love their flesh more than they love God. 100 proof. Because there is no dialogue. In the day of judgment, you're not going to say, hey, God, you know, let's talk about this. Let's think this over. How do you feel? What do you think? Well, I think. Isn't going to happen. Your opinion is not going to count on the day of judgment. Your opinion of gravity is not going to count. Jump out of a plane 20,000 feet. You can go, I feel and I think, as long as you, until you hit an object. You know, the next breath you take is a gift from God. You can say, well, I don't believe that. Fine, you can have your opinion, but someday you're going to take that last breath and you're meeting an object. That moment, your opinion doesn't count. What makes you think your opinion counts today? Jesus could have shared his opinion in the wilderness. He said, it is written, Dad says, Dad says, Dad says. That's his whole life. His whole life was, even at the age of 12, he said, I must be about my Father's business. And even John, 1 John verse 3, he says, our fellowship is with the Father. Now, we always say, well, with the Son. No, with the Father, he says, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Because, see, if you start with the Father, then you have the rules and commands which you cannot fulfill. But you deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus, and he gives you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not break the law. And at the end of the day, you can't say, Lord, look what I did. Remember those say, Lord, look at all the wonderful things we've done in your name. The moment you start saying, Lord, look what I've done in your name, you're apostate. Oh, we ought to have more people in the church. That's pure flesh. No. The oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda means you're going to go to marketing. You're going to go to Rick Warren's, Peter Drucker, you know, how do you make customers? You know, give them their felt needs. Tickle their ears. And they'll pack them in. And it works. The dopamine. Give them dopamine, 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 dopamine. And they're drunk. They're intoxicated with themselves and humanity and the world in the name of Jesus. Lord, look at all the wonderful things we've done in your name. All they do are worshiping the works of their hands. And Jesus' response is, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you, because Jesus knows the children who are subject to his Father. In fact, look at what he said to Peter. Ask Peter, who do you say that I am? Peter's response is, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Peter said, Jesus said, Peter, I'm going to build my church on this. Now, the Catholic Church says it's on Peter. No, Peter's pebbles. He's not a rock. And it's not, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Certainly that's true. But it's, my Father said this to you. My Father spoke to you. I talk to my Father all the time. Now, he just spoke to you. I'm going to build my church on those who are talking to my Father. That's why John said, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord gave the prayer, our Father which art in heaven. And it's the Father who gives you rules and commands and chastens and casts out. That the dialectic has to negate what Satan did in the garden. The moment he created the safe zone, you won't die, he negated the Father's authority. That's the lie. See, that's the great delusion that God has. He simply said, okay, church, quote unquote, You focus on your oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda. You're that rebellious child who doesn't humble yourself before me and seek my face. I'll turn you over. You'll be so blind you'll never know what hits you. You'll be so intoxicated with a group hug, kumbaya, can't we all just get along mentality. You will die in your sins and spend eternity in damnation because you refuse to recognize me and my law. It's not the law can save you, it's the law condemns you. And you look for a savior, there's only one name under heaven whereby you must be saved. It's not found in any man except Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it's only one, no dialogue required. So you open up the Word of God, make sure you have the Textus Receptus translations. You open it up and you read it and the Holy Spirit gives you understanding. But no, everybody's going down to that pastor, that guru, literally worshiping the gurus. Look on, turn on the TV, they're worshiping gurus. So-and-so says, so-and-so says, so-and-so says. You can always tell them a deceived church because they're quoting so-and-so instead of taking people to the Word of God and saying the Word of God says, the Word of God says, the Word of God says. Like Jesus, it is written, it is written, it is written. But no, they're following Eve in the garden following the master facilitator of change, going, well, oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda. You know, and then she, by the way, once he says you won't die, she's godless. Well, wait a minute, you can have a church and it'd be godless? Absolutely. Because it's leaning to its own understanding. It's going, well, there's nothing wrong with it. The tree's good for food. She was right. Physiologically, materialistically, humanistically, carnalistically. You know, and that's a synergistic mentality that's in the church. Democratization, conscientization, all this self-actualization, all of that she's simply doing. She's actualizing herself. She is liberating herself from God's authority. And then once she does that, oh, the tree's good for food. There's dopamine. Pleasing to the eyes. That's dopamine. That's the eyes. And then desires to make one wise. That's the pride of life. What Jesus did in the wilderness, it is written, is negated in the garden, in the dialectic process that now you find in the youth group. Well, how do you children feel, you young people? What do you think? How do you feel? Anytime you take psychology, Freud's hero, by the way, was Orpheus, a homosexual who made love to young boys. He built psychology off of that. That's why in all of counseling, you'll hear, the moment you hear, I feel and I think, or how do you feel and what do you think? Eve, how do you feel? Well, I ought to be able to touch you. What do you think? There's nothing wrong with the tree. That same pattern, that dialectic pattern, paradigm, that negation of God's authority is alive and well in the apostate church today in your local neighborhood. It's even found in the education system, Christian schools. Every, not just secular, but Christian school that's accredited is credited on Bloom's taxonomies, which incorporate the affective domain, the dopamine. In fact, on page 91, Bloom admits it's Pandora's box. Pandora's box is a box full of evils. He is saying in the book on page 91, the affective domain, we're going to open up your child's wicked, evil, despicable, depraved heart, and we're going to liberate it from the Father's authority. We're going to do exactly what Satan did with Eve in the garden. Line for line, word for word, step by step. And we're going to damn every child that walks through those doors. Same thing in the apostate church. Separate the father from the mother or from the children. Going to get the fathers to abdicate, turn their children over to the apostasy. The desire of the heart of the wife is not going to be to her husband, but to herself and to her children. That'll separate the husband and the wife and get them to focus on their children. That's all Satan was doing, was focusing on the children. And get the children away from focusing up on the father. That's dialectic process. That's that group grade. And then you're justified in doing it, putting it into practice. See, hey, Marx didn't agree with Hegel as far as, he agreed, by the way, with the philosophy, but he didn't agree with his word spirit. He said, no, society is what we have to do this process through. We have to do it through praxis. So the synthesis, which is a lie, by the way, is that we can create a world without accountability before God. That's the lie. That's called consensus. Ever been in a consensus with sensuous meeting? We have decided through the flesh, sensuousness, approach pleasure, avoid pain, what is right and wrong. We have simply, anytime you're in a consensus meeting, not confirmation. Confirmation is one comes in and says, this is what the Word of God says, and there's a yay or a nay. There's an agreement or disagreement. It's spiritual. But consensus is purely of the flesh. And church boards are doing consensus. And that's a lie. That's a deception. We can decide for ourselves, according to our perception, leaning to our own understanding, what is right and wrong in this moment, over and against God. So if you focus on the children, see, if you focus on the human relationship factor, and you make that the criteria, you're doing Hegel. Hegel said the child, see, the child within, that impulse and spontaneity, the desire for the approval of parents, and we all come with that. But, you know, as eventually as a parent, you discipline your child. You chasten them. And chastening is grievous for a season, but it produces a peaceful fruit of righteousness. You get them off of worshiping. You detox them, okay? It's like a drug addict. You take them off the drug. When you're chasing your child, you're taking them off the drug. The gratifying object you remove from them so they're not addicted. But Hegel said, no, you got to get rid of the father. And here he says, the child contrary to parents is the absolute. What lies in the child that's the absolute? his carnal nature, his desire to be at one with the creation. Then he says the rationality. It's the child who's rational. That's what Satan was saying to Eve. Eve, you're rational. Your desire to touch the tree is rational. In fact, eating of the tree is rational. God is irrational. There's nothing wrong with the tree. He doesn't make any sense. Therefore, if he's irrational, he's irrelevant. Just do what if it feels good, just do it. That's Genesis 3, 1 through 6. That's the church growth, emergent church. They're all built on this dialectic process, this common core. That's Bloom's taxonomy. That's total quality management, total quality leadership. I call Bloom's taxonomy secularized Satanism, intellectualized witchcraft. They just put it in academic forms, called it higher order thinking skills. Great on rocks and plants and animals because those are preset laws. But if you use it on man, what do you have? The law of the flesh. You're liberating the law of the flesh, delivering man from the law of God, and therefore delivering man from his need for the law of faith in Christ Jesus. That's why today teachers are not allowed to use the name Jesus Christ, maybe in cursing, but not to proclaim the Jesus of the scriptures who obeyed his father to death. This is why you will be fired as a teacher. Because we have embraced Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Because we have made the child the absolute, the rationality. Hegel said, he is what is enduring and everlasting, the totality, because every child is born into this world with lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Approach pleasure, avoid pain. All that's of the world. And if you want world unity, that's your only platform. And they'll lie, by the way, because, you know, they'll give you whatever you want to hear so they can maintain, these facilitators of change, a position of authority so they can practice their witchcraft in the church. The wolves in sheepskin. They look like sheep, don't they? But they're wolves down deep. Satan has ministers of righteousness. And then, by the way, Hegel, sounding more like Marx and Marx, he says, on account of the absolute natural oneness of the husband, the wife, and the children, he makes them all the same. Lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Where there is no antithesis of person to person or of subject to object. In other words, the husband is not to rule over the home. Desire of the heart of the wife is not to the husband, and children are not to obey their parents in the Lord, according to Hegel. So therefore, get this, if you reject this in the church, you separate the parents from the children, you get the children in oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda to liberate them from parental authority, and you get the women to focus on the women and the children, and you negate the husband, you just take them out and shoot them. Anytime you're in a counseling session, you have the husband, wife, children in the same room, and the counselor asks them how they feel, what they think, you just did the Soviet Russian, the French Revolution, you just killed the father. You just cut his head off. See, he is to rule with, it is written, I said, because I said so. Now, dad and mom aren't perfect, but that office is. See, Marx understood it. Hegel understood it. And he said, you got to get rid of that office, because if you do then, here, listen to his, you get rid of that father's authority in the church, in the community, common unity, see, in all of society, in the workplace. He says, then the surplus, this is Hegel, not Marx, the surplus is not the property of one of them. What does that mean? You have no private business. There is no private home. Those are not your children. That is not your business. That is not your property. That is collective. He says, the surplus is not the property of one of them, since their indifference is not a formal or legal one. God gave us property rights. He said to Adam and Eve, this is my garden, not your garden. See, you in America, Christians are cowards. They're running away from the Word of God. They're running after conservative groups here and there. The church has got involved in all of this dialogue and has abdicated all the blessings that God gave us because it's decided the human relationship is more important than obedience to God. See, Karl Marx understood this. He said, thus, for instance, once the earthly family, the husband's rule, you know, desire of the heart of the wife is to the husband. Children obey their parents in the Lord. There's a clause there. Dad could be a tyrant. The child can say, Dad, I can't do what you've asked me to do. The father can chasten the child, but the child can go to bed that night with a clear conscience because there's only one Father in heaven who is our Father. One Father. The secret is one. Two or more is confusion. That's why they've destroyed the home, because they want confusion. In confusion, there's dialogue and opinion, and you're forever lost to a true understanding of the Word of God. You're forever leaning to your own understanding. You're no longer trusting the Lord with all your heart. So Mark said, once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the Holy Family, he understood that traditional father who had authority over his home is God's secret, because the children have experienced that top-down system. And when you share the gospel with them, they understand a son obedient to his father to death. And a father who loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us to cover our sins. You've got to have that pattern. You've got to have that paradigm for that to make sense. And Mark says, the former, the earthly family itself, must be annihilated theoretically and practically. In other words, in the thoughts of the children, because they're already thinking, and in practice, in the group grade fight or consensus meeting, where then you put it into practice. You go into social action. Sigmund Freud said the same thing. He writes, and this is by Herbert Marcuse, Eros and Civilization, a psychological inquiry into Freud. He said, it is not really a decisive matter whether one's killed one's father or abstained from the deed if the function of the conflict and the consequences are the same. In other words, you can keep dad in the home. You can keep God around as long as he doesn't give rules and commands and chasten and threaten to cast out. As long as he's a wimp. As long as you neuter the men in America. And you can do it. You can, in the workplace, you put women in there, women will dialogue. So you have to go, I feel and I think, in the group sessions. You just neutered the men. You do it in the military. You do it in the schools. You do it in the church. Everywhere you go today, the men are being neutered. The fathers are being neutered. You know, you can have the kids out of wedlock. That's okay. Adultery and fornication. An abomination. In fact, Freud's hero, like I said, was Orpheus, and because his story is the father sees the mother and the children having incest. Perversity. Abomination. Well, they can't procreate. Well, that's the same structure for homosexuality, pedophilia, bestiality, necromancy. How depraved do you want to go? Because the thing on the dialectic road is that you're on the road. It's not how far down you've gone. You will eventually go all the way down the road. You say, well, I'll never be like that person. But you're on the same road. You're on the same road. That's why the heart is deceitful. You say, well, I'm not wicked like that. Yes, you are. The most wicked person on the face of the earth is you. No one else but you. You are the most wicked person. And you deceive yourself in saying, well, no, I'm not like that person down there. You're on the same road of deception. Progressively. This is what progressivism, the broad path. It's a rejection of the straight and narrow in Christ. And the key was to destroy the father's authority, because the father brings restraint in the children. He chastens, and it's grievous. It gets them off the drug, and it produces a peaceful fruit of righteousness. In other words, the children learn there is right and there is wrong. And the tyrant cannot rule. The Antichrist can rule only with Christians who go, I feel and I think, because I feel and I think there is no right or wrong. It's an opinion. And so Mark says, oh, this is Jejonovitz, excuse me, community policing, the meaning of community. Social control is most effective at the individual level. Mark said, by the way, individualism destroys the person. It's society, it's the group, it's the unity of the church, the unity of the community. That's where you find your identity. God says, no, you find your identity out there alone with me. Look at the prophets. Look at Paul, 3 years with the Lord. You know, and they say, well, Jesus had a group, but he was preaching and teaching to them. He wasn't dialoguing. He wasn't discovering truth with them. But Jejonovitz, who sets up the COPS program, social control is most effective at the individual level. A personal conscience is a key element in ensuring self-control. There it is. That's a father's authority. Refraining from deviant behavior. Oh, we wouldn't have a deviant society if we had fathers in authority over the home. Child Protective Services' total purpose is to kill the father in the home. No other purpose. Like Satan, come between the father and the children and deliver the children from the father's authority. That's Freud, see. And then the mother, they are the mother. They're the mother earth. They're the feelings of society. And the children then practice incest. It's actually the same system. Child Protective Services is the same pattern as pedophilia, because Freud said all children are sexually active. And you can say, well, okay, now I don't agree with that. You know, I believe it is Christian psychology. It's impossible to be a Christian psychologist, because psychology is on how you feel and what do you think, what Satan did with Eve in the garden. And a Christian is what Jesus said, Dad says, Dad says, Dad says. Those are two opposites. There's only antithesis. There's no synthesis. The synthesis is your lie. It's in your head. You're believing a lie that you won't die. That's the lie, that you won't be held accountable for putting God second place. You're leaning to your own understanding. You're not trusting in Him with all your heart. See, Tijanovitz understood this. As a scientist, you have to understand what you want to destroy. He said, the family, the next most important unit affecting social control, is obviously instrumental in the initial formation of the conscience and in the continued reinforcement of the values that encourage law-abiding behavior. And then he goes on and says, unfortunately, and sets out the whole program to come between the children and the parents, to focus on the unit right above the family, where the family is willing to compromise to get along with the neighbors. And once you focus on that, the oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda, you liberate the family from the father's authority. That's Kurt Lewin, and his whole agenda was how to destroy parental authority. That's the only purpose of Common Core, Bloom's Taxonomy, outcome-based education. We will leave no child behind. All children are at risk. Do you understand the meaning of those now? That's why I'm going to close. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the solution to you personally. Lean not to your own understanding. That's the warning. In all your ways acknowledge Him. That'll cost you. And let Him be the one, as a loving Father, let Him be the one who directs your steps, directs your path. It is not in you to direct your steps. We are children of a loving Father who sent His Son to die for us, that we might spend eternity with Him and not be damned forever with those who refuse, like Satan, to obey the Creator, the loving Father.